Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell on this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and ourselves in your image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and to serve you with reverence and thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Somo letu la leo linapatikana Amos 8 mstari wa 4 mpaka 7. Lisikieni hili, ninyi mnaopenda kuwameza wahitaji na kuwakomesha maskini wa nchi, mkisema, mwezi mpya utaondoka lini, tupate kuuza nafaka, na sabato nayo tupate kuandika ngano, mkipuuza efa na kuiongeza shekeli, mkidanganya watu kwa mizani ya udanganyifu, tupate kuwanunua maskini kwa fedha na wahitaji kwa jozi za viatu na kuziuza takataka za ngano. Bwana ameapa kwa fahari ya Yakobo, hakika sitazisahau kamwe kazi zao hata moja wako. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy.
Je recommande donc, avant tout, que l'on fasse des demandes, des prières, des supplications, des actions de grâce pour tous les hommes, pour les rois et tous ceux qui détiennent l'autorité, afin que nous menions une vie calme et paisible en toute piété et dignité. Voilà ce qui est beau et agréable aux yeux de Dieu, notre Sauveur, qui veut que tous les hommes soient sauvés et parviennent à la connaissance de la vérité. Car il n'y a qu'un seul Dieu, un seul médiateur, aussi entre Dieu et les hommes. Un homme, Christ Jésus, qui s'est donné en rançon pour tous. Tel est le témoignage qui fut rendu au temps fixé et pour lequel j'ai été, moi, établi héros et apôtre. Je dis vrai, je ne mens pas, docteur des nations dans la foi et la vérité. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Another story. There was a man with so many possessions, he had to have someone to oversee them all. The rich man was told that his overseer was mishandling his possessions, and he sent for the man and said to him, "Why am I hearing these things about you? Give me an account of all I possess, for I can no longer trust you to oversee my belongings." The man said to himself, "What will I do? I am too old to dig ditches and too proud to beg from others." Then an idea came to his mind. "I know what to do so that others will help me and give me a place to live." He went to each person who was in debt to the rich man. He said to the first one, "How much do you owe?" 100 containers of oil," the man answered. "Make it to be 50," the overseer told him. He then said to another, "How much do you owe?" 100 baskets of wheat," he answered. "Make it to be 80," the overseer said back to him. When the rich man found out what the dishonest overseer had done, he shook his head but admired the man's craftiness. "Do you see what this means?" Creator sets free asked. The children of darkness are sometimes wiser in the ways of the world than the children of light are in the ways of the spirit world above. So then, use the possessions of this world to help others in need who will become your friends. Then, when possessions run out, these new friends of Creator's good road will always welcome you into their homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Sorry. If Creator cannot trust you with the possessions of this world, then how will he trust you with the treasures of the spirit world above? But if you do well the small things of this world, you will do well with the great things of the spirit world above. No one can be loyal to two rival chiefs. He will have to choose between them. Either he will hate one chief and love the other, or he will honor one and resent the other. You cannot be loyal to the great provider and to possessions at the same time. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May only words of truth be spoken and only words of truth be heard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are richer than you think. Or so my bank wants me to believe. And really, isn't that a comforting thought? No matter how much or how little we have, isn't it comforting to think that we may have even more? Because way down deep, we know that money or wealth equals power. And maybe I'm more powerful than I think or than I feel. And in a world filled with so much uncertainty, power equals security. Very comforting. But there's another subtle nuance behind this marketing. If it leads me to conclude that I am worth more than I thought, that's even more empowering, more freeing than thinking I am rich. For my sense of worth speaks to my sense of value as a person, and I want to believe I'm full of worth, that I matter. What the bank's marketing people know is that people are always on the lookout for reassurance that we matter. And while they may not have put it this way, the 17th century French mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal captured the concept by saying that every person has a God-shaped hole or a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of their being, a need that we all have which seeks to be filled but cannot be satisfied by anything created, only by God. So Pascal's concept is often cited to explain the human search for meaning, for purpose, suggesting that when people try to fill that void with other things, they will ultimately remain unsatisfied. The idea suggests a fundamental longing or yearning for a connection with divine love. If all that seems a bit abstract, I invite you to think of it in terms of that toy that we give little children. It's a little workbench, and it's got a bunch of little holes in it of different shapes. There's a circle and a square and a triangle and a star. And we present them with these pegs that are of the different shapes and a hammer. And they come quite quickly to understand through trial and error that the task is to hammer the right shaped peg into the right shaped hole. And you know that look of satisfaction when they succeed? Isn't that just priceless? This lesson will serve them well throughout their lives. For we are forever looking for the thing that will satisfy the need of whatever the situation presents. Pascal's concept also reinforces another lesson from nature, that nature abhors a vacuum. We don't like empty holes. If we feel a hole in our lives, we will seek to fill it. And the problem with seeking a God-shaped hole is that there's no obvious God-shaped peg just lying around for us to pick up and hammer home. God, unlimited, unconstrained love, comes in many shapes. Some might even say in many disguises. And that's why that's why anything that suggests we are richer than we think sounds so attractive. Because however so nice to feel well-fed, like at the end of a good meeting, you're full, you're replete with the thing that really matters. How marvelous to have that deepest need satisfied. Unfortunately, Pascal knew that the world had no lack of other things that are not love, that pretend or promise to meet that need. These not only distract us from the fundamental task of letting love fill the hole, but they lead us to believe that we are actually filling the love-shaped hole when we flock to other solutions to find the kind of security that we long for at the deepest level of our being. And that, I suggest, is precisely what Jesus is warning us to be alert to in the parable about the shrewd manager. Notice that Jesus is not commending the manager's behavior after his dishonesty is discovered. He's simply saying that the ways of this world reward those who convince not only themselves but others that they are richer than they think when it comes to wealth and power and worth and security. Jesus is basically holding out before us two pegs, but two mutually exclusive pegs for filling the God-shaped hole. One is the right shape, shaped like love. But picture the other as a square or a star-shaped peg, small enough to fit into the round hole. If you hammer kind of hard, it'll get in there, won't fill all the edges. But notice how hard it is to get it out again. It doesn't fit perfectly, but it fits enough. The thing is that these two options, God, love, and worldly security, aren't just set before us side by side to choose from and possibly get mixed up. You can't choose one or the other depending on how you feel on a given morning, or alternately depending on the day of the week. They lie in opposite directions. Because the God-shaped or love-shaped peg is not found primarily within our individual selves. It is outside in the world around us. We cannot serve God and self-sufficiency at the same time because they require and result in opposite actions. The one is about centering on our own needs, and the other is about centering on the needs of others. The parable this morning, in the older, more traditional words, calls that other peg mammon, dishonest wealth, false security, a mistaken understanding of our real worth. What, in the Old Testament, would be called an idol. And such things are ever ready to capture our attention and desire and to distract us from the one object of worship, that can save us from the seductive falsehoods of the idols promoted in our consumer-based society. In fact, Jesus brings us face to face with the commandment not to covet. He doesn't say that, but it's the commandment which essentially covers the same ground as the admonition from the reading from the book of Amos this morning, not to cheat the poor. If we're only focused on what we do not yet have, we will always want more, think we need more, and we'll see others either as competitors for limited resources or as ways to help us get more for ourselves. When we covet financial security, we are by definition neglecting the stance of faith, which is gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness regarding what we already have. That was the point of the commandments, wasn't it? Some of you may have grown up like me, hearing the same doxology at the offering every Sunday. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. There was always a big long amen at the end of that. I never quite knew why, but if all things come of God, we have to consider everything as a gift. And if we don't, we'll feel constrained when seeing needs beyond our own and being faced with a decision about giving any of it away. We feel somehow our worth will be diminished. So the real crux of the matter is that the more we feel the need to hold on to what we have, the harder it is to welcome and recognize the love that can fill the love-shaped hole. Because when we live in fear, the fear of not having enough, we look for anything to fill that hole in ourselves first. But in Jesus, we have access to the only thing that can fill the void without centering our lives on our own needs. In Jesus, we know where to look for, where to find the right peg. Because Jesus showed us that the love-shaped hole needs a cross-shaped peg. The only way to wrench ourselves free from the illusions of financial security, whether or not we think we have enough, is to ask what must be sacrificed, what must be crucified, what must die, so that our longing to meet our own needs does not keep us from helping to meet the needs of others. You are richer than you think when your wealth consists in trusting that filling the hole in the lives of others will fill the hole within yourself. Now, our Savior knew that the only way to a life without constraints lies through death. And the death of all that stands in the way of filling the love-shaped hole with the only thing that can fill it. And that is love, which is outward facing. Love that frees us from our obsession with our own security. Only life by way of the cross allows our deepest selves to be stretched beyond our own needs and fears to become the means by which the God of love makes the lives of those we serve richer in ways that the marketing folks at my bank cannot conceive. What does the love of God look like? It looks like you and me facing outward and seeing the needs of the world as the love-shaped peg that we have been seeking all our lives. To be faithful in a little, as the parable puts it, will lead us to be faithful in greater things. That is, will lead us to being filled, but filled to overflowing with the love that comes from God in Christ. When God's own self gives us the power, the worth, the wealth, however you want to put it, that cannot be contained, to give away what we covet most for the life of the world that God loves. So in the end, we are richer than we think. We are as rich as we believe. Thanks be to God.
It is with open hearts and gratitude that we offer our petitions to you today, Lord, singing. Protect and care for our earthly home that you have created and love and which sustains us. Make us good stewards who use the resources of the earth wisely, protect it from harm, and share its bounty generously. We pray to you singing. For justice and peace in the world, especially in areas where war, violence, conflict, and starvation are prevalent, with so many of our brothers and sisters suffering. May world leaders base their decisions on the law of justice and with the moral integrity that you have planted in every human heart. We pray to you singing. For the grace of good leadership for all entrusted with elected positions in our country, including Mark, our Prime Minister, Francois and Doug, our Premiers, Mark and Maud, our Mayors. We pray to you singing. Church leaders, Shane, our primate and bishop, and our metropolitan, Chris, our national indigenous bishop, that they may guide us in the way of unity and service. In our parish, we hold up Gary, Alan, Christina, and Pat, Monica and Barb, Nick, Kimberly, Carrie, Jesse, the staff and clients of the well, and all volunteers. We pray to you singing. To be generous of heart by sharing our abundance and the gifts that are given us with all those weighed down by poverty and insecurity in their daily lives, for those providing support and comfort to those living in poverty, for our food banks as they face rising demand, for all charities and churches dedicating themselves to supporting those in need, including our thrift shop and the well. Make the door of this church wide enough to receive all who need love and fellowship and the care of God. We pray to you singing. Suffering in body and in spirit, that they may have comfort and healing, especially James, Alice, David, Barton, Sarah, Doug, and Alex. We pray to you singing. Of a loved one. May our departed brothers and sisters experience the fullness of Christ's peace and his unconditional love. We pray to you singing. Alongside us in this week ahead, to enable us to reflect to others your abundant compassion and generosity. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the Church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen.
Thank you. and serve the Lord.